The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. And this week, Alan and I are going to be talking about vision. I guess the reason that we're talking about vision is because I've just spent 4 days in Dublin with a team at DeFacta, rethinking the vision for the overall project. And what was very interesting was that after 4 days, we were all very aligned. But when a third party came in to ask us what the vision was, he came out and said, well, you're all saying different things. And the beauty of it all was, though, we were all saying the same thing, but in slightly different ways, which meant that the person basically thought that we were all saying completely different things. And I think we were getting into a bit of semantics, but it really then raised the question as to me, what is vision then really within a company? Because if you've got more than one or two different founders, like obviously you've got more than one founder, two people are going to have an idea of what they want to go to in their vision. And does it necessarily have to be articulated in exactly the same words and in exactly the same way for people to really understand it and follow and fall behind it? Because I don't think it does. I think if you stop being a little bit pedantic and actually really just listen to the whole conversation that we had, especially when we were in Ireland, you would have realized that everyone is actually saying the same thing. What they were talking about was that the vision was the same, is that the execution of the vision was different. And I think that's important. You don't necessarily have to execute the vision in the same ways, but I think it's important that everyone knows that this is how they want to get there. So I'm always intrigued, Alan, with all the stuff that you're doing, because obviously a lot of what you do is with startups who need to have a vision. Yeah. So how do you get them to articulate? How do you get two co-founders to articulate in the same way?
The first thing I do is I refuse to use the term vision.
Oh, there you go.
I just find vision and mission. I'm like, what are we really talking about here? The language I like to use, because I just think it's much more relevant to our lives, is what's the ambition? What is it that you really want to achieve here? Why are we doing this? What is it we're all striving to bring together to make happen? And how will we know when we've got that? You know, I agree with you. Well, I reflect on what your friend that went into, or the person that came into the room and said, you all think you've got the same vision, but I'm in touch with you all. Every one of you has got a different view on it. Almost without exception, every time that I met a management team and had the opportunity to meet them individually and ask them, where is this business headed and why is it going there? I've reported back, they're all headed in different directions. So that is almost a normal position, but it's really unhelpful, because then you get people, whether it's actually 5 or 10 degrees different in terms of direction, all the effort isn't shoving in the same way. And that just means wasting effort, wasting energy that could otherwise have been shoved in the same direction towards the same ambition. In terms of, is it important to everybody shares the same language? I actually think that is quite important, because one of my old colleagues had a wonderful habit of every time he was our CTO, every time he spoke about the vision, the ambition for the technology, it was bloody different from the time before. And I would say to him, look, you're never saying the same thing twice. And he said, okay, because I'm always changing my mind on what we're doing. And I found that really, really troubling, because there wasn't clarity then. You almost had to be on your toes, ready to wait on what's coming next. So my simple solution around these things is just write it down. Just grab a sentence or a couple of sentences that at the highest level define what the ambition is. Now, you can then go and take those couple of lines and articulate your view on them. Now, I can buy that, but at the heart of it, let's just agree a form of words that is definitive. And then that avoids straying too far off the same path.
Yeah, see, I agree with that in the sense that you need to have it. Well, you can write down a single sentence. I think the problem that you get a lot of the times is that that becomes very wordy and very, in many ways, open to interpretation. So one of the things is that we create a few vision statements and mission statements over the years. And the problem is that, you know, sometimes they get a bit convoluted and jargony, right? So they become quite, I guess, esoteric in a way. It's like some marketing person came up with it rather than you yourself. Because I guess a lot of what you find is, especially when they're trying to raise investment, you need to have that clear mission, clear vision, right? But actually, I think ambition is probably a better way of putting it when you're looking to raise investment, because that's something that brings everything together.
But when it becomes wordy, you know, there's a great benchmark for, is this appropriate? Is this the right language or not? Which is, would my grandmother understand what we're trying to do if I showed her that piece of paper? And if she doesn't, no, it's not clear. It's not well presented. The moment it becomes technical or jargony, you've missed the point.
Yes, definitely. And I think what happened in, let's say, when we were all together was that we did try to stay away from the jargon, but I think we were also trying to relay what we were trying to execute, so operational ideas as well. And I think one of the things that hit me was when the guy actually was trying to push us, I was trying to say to him that a lot of what you're talking about is irrelevant, because this is a business that needs to actually put together over the next 6 months, 6, 12 months, it needs to show that what we originally set out to do, we're going to do. So beyond that, there really isn't much more of a vision. See what I mean? In the sense that practically, we have to go out and get things done. Now, yes, we had a much higher level of mission, vision, you want to call it, that exists out there, but none of that is really relevant if we can't prove, you know, the first step we said we're going to take is actually executable. So for me, I guess one of the big problems I had with what he was trying to do was that really our focus should really be on getting the things that we need to get done in the next 6 months, which is the first step on the way to achieving the bigger goal at the end.
And I think that's absolutely fine. Not every business can have a 10-year plan, because we have no idea, in some, particularly in technology, we don't know what the world is going to look like in 2 years, in 1 year, never mind 10 years.
Well, that's the thing, right? So I think the thing was that they were trying to push for what is it going to look like in, okay, we have a framework of what we think is going to happen and what it'll look like in 3 years, but obviously things will change, right? And if we can't show these next 6 months that we're doing what we want, we set out to do in our initial roadmap, which is actually all very reasonable, then we know that we have to change something along the line. And then therefore, whatever we said in year 3 or 5 is increasingly irrelevant or not something that we'll end up doing. And the problem then you get with putting out these large missions, especially in the blockchain world, is that you just get hung by your own petard, right?
Yeah.
Which is pointless. So I say, why do we need to go that far when we should just really concentrate on the things that we know?
But again, this all depends what the purpose of this work is for, you know, of writing your vision or defining your ambition. If it is for the senior management team, the leadership team, to all share a view on, right, we now all know what we're doing, that might only be 6 months. Because you recognise, and once we get to that part on the journey, then we've got decisions to make. But right now, we can't see through the fog. We don't know what lies by that point. For investors, they'll probably want an idea, at least a view on where you think you're likely to go after that. Because if that 6 month point is the end of a cliff, and your only option is to be the lemmings that come off, they'll probably let you go on your own. But if you have a view and can convince them that we believe that when this smoke and battle clears, there'll be a route forward to these next stages.
Yes, and I think this is where my problems lie. Because if we look at what we did with de facto even Atom, we've had a very clear idea. So we had a very beginning, we had a very clear mission or our vision of what this project or this business is going to do. And then as you start doing it, so you're 6 months in, you realize, okay, we, in order for us to get to that end goal, there needs to be certain stepping stones. We need to kind of coalesce around and focus on a certain set of strategic objectives over the next 6 months. Because if we can achieve those objectives over the next 6 months, we know that we will have found out all the pit holes and the problems and the challenges and the things that we can find. And then we'll have a much clearer view of what the next year, 2 years will look like, and whether we concentrate on one asset class or, you know, one path or multiple paths, right? Rather than trying to be distracted from day one on multiple paths and not know.
Is the pragmatism of managing a business in that dynamic environment, what a lot of crunch wallet that sounded like. But it is the reality of that if you're in a mature market that is steady and stable, well, yeah, you can take a 10-year view on what's going to happen with some degree of confidence. But if you're in an emerging market or emerging technologies, you're only a fool when plays big bets 5 years down the line, when you don't actually know what it's going to look like in a year's time.
And that's it. And that's it for me, especially in this kind of world where, you know, we've already seen blockchains disappear because of shaky foundations, let's put it that way. I think that's the key for me, is that, we, you know, as we go along, new entrants will come into the market, old ones will drop out.
And I would argue that makes it even more important for a company like DeFactor to regularly get those that are in leadership, those that can actually plot the course and are charged with bringing the business down the course. It's important they get together and spend time discussing and debating what the ambition or the vision is, because things might change very rapidly. That might say, well, what we thought was achievable is now but a fraction of what we can do. So we can really go large now, because the opportunity is just opening up in front of our eyes. But equally, things may happen and say, you know, a favourite word of yours and mine, we need to pivot. Because actually, our strategy is no longer going to work. We need to do something radically different. And that doesn't mean that radically different because we made bad decisions. It's radically different because the fog of war is lifting. We actually can now see what the landscape looks like. It's just the way that it is. And you know, every business in the world, when it came to the pandemic, well, every well-managed business had a strategy, had a view. Most of them in the midst of the long term, and then the pandemic came along and went, that's not happening. In fact, you're about to see the most radical change in your environment you can ever imagine. Your customers are going home and they're not going back to work. They're not going to go out. They're not going to social. All of that stuff. And at that point, you need to be absolutely clear on really what it is we're aiming to do.
Yes, and if I put my Atom hat on, I find it very interesting when I come across founders who don't really have a clear idea of what it is that they're trying to do or sell from product or service perspective. Because there was one client came recently that had always worked on kind of, I guess, platforms. Basically, what it had done is always rapidly develop an MVP, try and get it to a certain level, and then either sell it on to somebody else or kind of let it go in the background because it was making some sort of passive income. So they weren't really very interested in creating a long-term product with a vision and a roadmap. And then suddenly they kind of created something which from launch had thousands of users. And so they got very lucky. I guess they were the right market, right time, right product, but hadn't really. Yeah.
Why are they just lucky?
Well, I think in a sense, yeah, because they hadn't really planned on what they were going to do. So they
roll the dice often enough and you may actually just come up with a bunch of sixes.
Yeah. I mean, even with the product they'd created was kind of almost a carbon copy of something else. And what they'd done is they essentially pushed out into a new market, and that new market had really responded very well. And so then when we were talking to them, they really didn't understand how it is. And then they were very clear and open, which was actually very honest of them to say, well, we've never, ever built a sustainable product that has lasted for more than a year, 2 years. So we need help on how to do that. And actually, I found that quite surprising in that they really didn't have that kind of, again, vision for what they wanted to do. But I didn't necessarily need them to have a 5-year vision. I just kind of wanted them to have what's this going to look like in 6 months' time?
It sounds a little bit like they're inventors more than anything else. They just did stuff to do it and then hadn't really thought it through as to what came next. And you know what? If that's what you are and their business was about we invent stuff and sell it on really early on, well, for their overall business, they probably do have an ambition. They do have a vision, which is we are MVP makers of ideas. And that's what we do. And you know what? If that's what they enjoy and they make a living that keeps them happy, they're probably the happiest guys in the world.
Definitely. And I think what they found here was in this one situation where they struck gold in a bigger way than they thought they would do. And so now we have quickly to scramble around and try and figure out, okay, how do we actually make this into something that works?
This is why I like using that term ambition, because every founder I've ever worked with had an ambition, a personal ambition to do something. And that usually involved, I have an ambition of creating my own business. And you use that kind of language and that kind of motivation to say, well, you know, again, I will ask people, what do you want for you out of this? What matters to you? You know, call that vision, call it ambition, but you know, it is at some point in the future, you want to be somewhere. What does that look like for you? And that's not necessarily anything to do with the business, because it may well be the business is only a means to an end, to get me the money to allow me to have a yacht and sail around the Caribbean for the rest of my life. That's great. Because as long as you end up there, you've won. You've succeeded. But equally when it comes to the business, it's the same idea. Where do you see this business? And you might not be part of it at that point. You know, there's lots of people who have started and grown businesses and then sold them on the basis of, I did the bit I was good at and I enjoyed, but that next stage was never right for me and never right for me and that business. So it was time for me to move on and let somebody else do it.
So then the question comes as to, how do you change your ambition? Because I think when you're looking at changing visions and missions and you're putting them into that kind of terminology, it's very difficult to change them because they tend to be fairly set from that kind of business process, business model canvas mindset, right? Yeah. So if you have that, then that's what your North Star is going to be for the next X number of years. Whereas actually ambitions can change quite regularly. And I think that's probably more reflective of a real business than necessarily your vision is.
And that's where you need good people around you. And that would be, you know, in a more established business, I would say that's where a really good chairman would be working with the founders and the board to make sure that we're not hamstrung by something we thought we wanted to do 3 years ago. It may no longer be right either for the business, for the shareholders. Again, an absolute driver for me. If whoever is leading on the business, not necessarily one person, a group of people, the people that are important in the business, if they're not getting what they want out of it, their enthusiasm will wane and drain, and then you might end up with nothing at all. So actually, you've got to balance off what is right for the business with what is right for the people that are in it, the people you're relying on, which is why in this area, I always start off with the people. What is it you really want out of this? And once we've worked that out, then we can work out what that means for the business and how we can make sure it's win-win.
So here's a question. Given that we're now moving into recession territory, should people be changing their ambitions? Should people be looking at their business and saying, oh, maybe I need to lower my ambition slightly or change them?
Well, that all depends on what your business is and how the changing environment will impact on your business. So for some, well, yes, the future is not as rosy, as has as much opportunity as we thought it would have 2 years ago. So there's only one sure way to fail, which is continuing the same plan in an environment that cannot sustain that plan. That will just never work. But equally, there'll be others for whom, and you know, it's sad to, well, not sad to say, it's just a fact of life, that whether we're in boom time or recession time, some businesses will do great. So if you're in an environment, in an area where really it's not going to impact on what we do and how we do it, absolutely no reason to change your ambition. But this is why, you know, for me, vision ambition is the absolute heart of every strategy I've ever worked on. Why are we doing this? What is it we're actually aiming to achieve? And why does that matter to us? And as you and I have spoken about many times, the reality is the moment that you walked out that room in Dublin, before you got on the plane, something somewhere had changed. And if you all went back into the room and were aware of it, you'd go, that changes our point of view. Maybe only by half a degree. But if the UK financial sector was in collapse like it was in 2008, it would have had a massive impact. But that all happened in the blink of an eye. So you never know. You can't ever set strategy, set ambition and say, come hell or high water, that's what we're doing. That would be foolish in the extreme.
Yes, and I agree. And I think it's all a little bit about taking stock after a certain amount of time and revising what you've been doing and then looking forward into the market and saying, okay, does this still make sense to do, or should we be tweaking things?
I love this, you know, we use this term managers, and actually managers are there to manage, to find themselves in a position, in a circumstance, and manage their way through it. And as directors, sure, we're there to direct and set direction, but actually we've also got to manage the business. Managing director, maybe there's a clue in that title.
Yes, indeed. There is indeed. Okay. Well, I mean, I think from my point of view, this is an interesting conversation because, I found it very interesting that because people use different words, and I think one of the key things there was that not everyone's first language was English. That also kind of has an impact on it, because if you know, people will be using English in probably the same sense, just with different words, because they don't have that vocabulary, right? Yeah. I think there's that aspect to it all as well. But I found it very interesting that someone standing in a room could think that we're not actually saying the same thing when everyone else around us was actually sitting there thinking that we'd...
I would absolutely urge that coming out of any session like that is like almost a memorandum of agreement. I don't mean lengthy, I mean one or two sentences. And if your granny can't understand it, it's not clear enough.
Yes, 100%. And that's the way we do things with tech as well. Actually, with an atom, we always make sure that we explain things in a way that everyone can understand. Otherwise, it becomes pointless, really.
So I think that's a lovely way to finish. When it comes to your vision, your ambition, whatever you want to call it, make sure that you can explain it to your grandmother and she'll get what you're trying to do.
Perfect. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.